Good morning. Wasn't that a cute video? Kids can be cute sometimes, can't they? So my name is Heather Graffam. If you don't know, my husband is Caleb. He is working this weekend, so I don't get to look out and see his face for encouragement, but I'm hoping maybe he's watching online. God has blessed us with four amazing kids. I may cry. Brantley is our oldest. She is six. She's waving. Scarlett, who is more shy, she is four. Then we have Ansley in the nursery. She'll be two next month. And then Caleb James, our boy, finally, after three girls. he's 3 months old. So about 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, Pastor Steve sent Caleb a text and asked him if I would get up and say a few words today. And my first reaction was laughing out loud. I legit laughed out loud and said, why? Why me? One, I don't like public speaking. I think that was my least favorite class at York Tech. I heard an amen. Someone agrees. And then I am a hot mess about 90% of the time. I am struggling to keep it together most of the time. So I said, Lord, what can I say to these moms? So this is not something that I've taken lightly. It's something I have prayed about continuously. It's something that I've sought wise counsel about, because I don't want this to be my words that you hear. I want it to be God's words. And last Sunday we were praying and here at church, and I was really seeking God, and I'm like, Lord, tell me something. I need something. I don't know what to say. And it just kept saying, you need to tell people to be an encourager. Be an encourager. We live in a world that is dark. We live in a world that puts a tremendous amount of pressure on moms. We live in a society where if you do something as a mom a certain way, it's wrong. But if you do it this way, it's wrong. It's, you know, the constant battle of going back and forth between, oh, well, breastfeeding is better than formula feeding, or co-sleeping is better than, you know, it's always this back and forth, the buying the organic food versus going through McDonald's drive-thru. And so I was thinking about when I first found out that I was going to be a mom and all the feelings that I had, the excitement, the surprise, because we were surprised, the nerves, the feelings that I have felt since adding three more, overwhelmed, being overwhelmed and stressed, and sometimes feeling like a failure, to be honest. And I think it's so important that you surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you, who are going to lift you up, and who are going to pray for you. Being a mom can sometimes feel very lonely. Even though you are surrounded by these beautiful blessings, and I call them blessings because the Bible says that kids are a gift and a blessing, even though our world will tell us that they're a burden and they're expensive, which is true, but they are a gift. God has placed these kids in your life for you to raise, for you to be a godly example to. Because if we are not that godly example, the world definitely will be. They need to see you praying. They need to see you worshiping. They need to see you asking for forgiveness and apologizing. They need to see you lifting other people up. So back in 2018, I found myself in a very dark and lonely place. There's a lot of different things that to play at that. I'm pretty sure I was going through postpartum depression. Didn't know it at the time. And I know that if it wasn't for the prayers of John and Mary Ann Copeland that got me through that time, and for God's mercy, oh, his mercies, because during that time, I wasn't reading my Bible, and I wasn't praying, not for any other reason than just laziness and not making it a priority, you know, just being busy and not making sure I do it. And so, be an encourager. Proverbs 10:11 says, the words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. Find a mom. Find several mom. Make sure you call, text, lift them up. Tell them that you're doing a good job. Tell them that they are loved. Ask them if they need anything specifically to be prayed about, and actually pray for them and let them know that you are praying for them. Mary Ann is like the best like hype person there is. She sent me like 3-4 texts this morning just knowing that, telling me that she was praying for me. But as a mom, you need to be that person too. You need to be lifting other moms up. You need to be praying for them and reading the Bible. And John 15:4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And that was the thing back in 2018. I was trying to figure out this whole motherhood thing on my own and not searching and seeking God and finding his wisdom from the Word. And I know life's hectic. I know it's crazy. I know it's busy. You got to find time. Whether it's, I love nothing more than to get up early before the kids do, get me a cup of coffee, read the Bible, and pray for a good 30 minutes. But that's just not my season in life right now. So whether it's 10 minutes, whether it's whispers of prayers throughout the day, whether it's, we're all the time listening to worship music. If you're in the car driving to work, put a sermon on. Have the Bible read. They have audible Bible where it reads to you, because the more of Jesus that you can put in your day, there's less chance of that darkness trying to come at you. Those fiery arrows are real, and there's a real battle that goes on that we can't see, and sometimes you don't know that you're in it till you've come out of it. And I thank God every day. So let me challenge you, moms. Take 2 weeks. Filter out your social media. Go through. Make sure what you're following, who you're following, is positive and uplifting. Filter what you're listening to. Filter to what you're watching. It will make a difference. I had a friend who is, God placed her in my life. And if you don't have someone in your life, pray. Cry out to God. Ask him, Lord, please put someone in my life that will lift me up and that will pray for me. But she told me, I guess it was about a year ago, I was struggling with things. I mean, we all have struggles. And she encouraged me to read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. And she said, when you read that, read it as, who does God say that you are? And I'm going to read two verses from that really spoke to me, that I wrote down last year. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy, my favorite part, and without fault in his eyes. Because I don't know about you mothers, but sometimes I feel like a big, complete failure on a daily basis. But what reassurance we have when it says we are without fault in his eyes. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are God's masterpiece. You are a masterpiece, this says. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He has planned for us long ago. So let me just challenge you this next week. Really dive in. Make it a priority. Make it a point to read your Bible and to pray. And I want you to start with these two chapters, Ephesians chapters 1 and 2, and just read it and say, who does God say that I am? Now, I only have experience through up to the age of 6, which isn't very far when I think about it. but there's going to be a video that plays that's going to, I'm really going to pay attention to, because I know it's going to be some other wise words and instruction on how to, for me to go forth into my next season of mothering. So thank you all. And love you.
Hello, everyone. Good morning and happy Mother's Day. I am so thrilled to be able to come to you through video today and wish you a happy Mother's Day. I'm sorry I can't be here in person, but I'm glad to be here at least through video on this very special day. And I'm thrilled that Pastor has asked me to share a little bit of my experience being a mother. I'm a mother of 3 children. My oldest is Annalise, who is 14, and Evan is 11, and my youngest, my baby, is Emma, and she's 8 years old now. One of the first things I've learned really is that I've become more patient. I definitely became more patient when I became a mother. I had to be. We all know that children require a lot of patience. But I've become more patient, not just in the day-to-day, but also in my own life. I've learned to become patient. We have learned to slow down and plan and budget, and now we save up for things. Before children, we, for instance, we would see something in a store that we might want and we would just buy it, you know, no matter the cost. But now we think through these things a little more. We save up and we budget and we plan for the future with a little more patience. We plan for our family vacations, which are very important. We budget for those throughout the year. I had a whole nother life before becoming a mother. None of that mattered as much as becoming a mother. As a matter of fact, when I became a mother 14 years ago, I feel like that's when my life began. Nothing else up until that point really, really mattered. The greatest joy I ever experienced in my life was hearing my baby laugh. You know, when I heard that laughter, it was absolutely the greatest joy I had ever experienced. And, seeing my children laugh and smile and have fun, you know, as they grow, it brings me so much joy. It makes me feel like I must have done something right. My mom was a big help to me when my children were born. She would come to Nashville and help me with the children as we were just getting started with the children, and everything was just kind of a whirlwind. Mom would come in and help give me some extra hands on that. Of course, she has a lot of experience. My mother, I've always considered just the ultimate mom, because there's 5 of us. I can't imagine. Because having 3, I remember thinking, I don't have enough arms for this. You know, I've got 2 arms for my 2 kids. What am I going to do with a 3rd? I just don't have enough arms. So I can't imagine having 5 kids and how in the world you juggle that. But I think my dad was a big help, but mom is definitely the ultimate mother. And I love and appreciate her so much. And I am going to introduce her to you. This is my mom. For those that don't know, this is Becky Dixon. And you're a mother of five, which I can't imagine trying to juggle five children. But you did somehow.
Well, actually, I was so thankful to have two girls before I had three boys, because the girls helped me raise the three boys, especially Annette. She was like a mom to my three boys. So it's, once you have two, it's smooth sailing pretty much.
So did you always know that you wanted to be a mother?
Yes, whenever I was just a child, playing with my baby dolls, I would pray and ask God, say, I would love for you to turn this little baby doll into a live baby. And God answered my prayers whenever I had my little babies. And so he answered that little child's prayers. I wanted to be a mother from the time I can remember. Yeah.
So from day one.
Day one. And whenever I got married, I was so excited to have children that for the first 4 months, I didn't get pregnant, and I cried for 4 months until I, 4 months. So yeah, I wanted to be a mom.
That was the first thing you wanted to do when you got married, was be a mother.
Right.
So what is the difference as far as difficulty in raising girls versus boys?
Yeah, well, girls are easy whenever they're little, because they like the color, they like the playhouse, they like to just cook, you know. But little boys are more dangerous. They love to climb trees, they like to race, they like to shoot guns. And so when boys are little, they're a little bit more difficult. But whenever girls become teenagers, they are more expensive. They have to have prom dresses, they have to have hairspray and makeup, and so.
And lots of it.
Yeah, boys are easier as teens.
Kind of shifts.
Then. Yeah.
Does it get any easier? Like, do the children worry you a little less as they grow and leave home and get out on their own?
Not really. Well, my kids always call me Worry Walrus. That was in a little book that we had, you know. There was an alphabet letter for every type of emotion. So I was Worry Walrus, and I was the one that was always, in fact, my husband called me the Safety Princess. That was my name, the Safety Princess. So I always worried, you know, about my children getting hurt, and even, you know, as you leave home, whenever they started driving, you know, worried, are they gonna make it to school and back? And then getting married, hoping they would marry the right person. That is so important, to marry the right person. And that means dating the right person, because you're gonna fall in love with whoever you're dating. So, so that's real important.
And if it's not the right person, nip it, right?
Nip it in the bud.
That's good advice. That's really good advice. So, Mom, what is the best thing about being a parent, do you think?
I think it's being a grandparent.
Okay.
I have 12 grandchildren that I just adore and love to be with, and they love me, and we just have a wonderful time together.
Yes, you do, and they do. They love their granny and papa very much. And it's really been a real blessing to us to have mom and dad help with the children. In fact, that was something that you had mentioned, that important
part of being a parent is kind of living near your parents in order to have that support. Yes, if you can, try to live near your parents. I know I did. I lived near my mom and dad, and they were such a big help. Every Sunday, we would go to either my husband's or my parents for lunch, and we would stay until they said, go home.
And they would cook. They would cook. My grandmothers would cook for us on Sunday, and we did get to have a real bond with both sets of grandparents. And that is real important for children to have that.
Yeah, a safe place to stay a night or a year, wherever.
So that kind of brings me to my next question, which is, how does being a parent affect you spiritually?
Mm-hmm. Well, it keeps you on your knees a lot when you're praying for your kids. You know, you are hoping and praying that they'll be able to survive the teens and find a good spouse. And so you pray a lot. And it helps you also to spiritually understand how God loves us. God loves us with an unchanging love. And no matter what we do or say, He's always loving us. And that's the way mother's love is. It never changes. You love your kids, whether they're away from the Lord or whatever. There's nothing that can change the love of a mother. There's nothing that can change the love of God. And but none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes, and our family's not perfect. And but I'm so thankful for the verse of this. 1 John 9 says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And I'm so thankful that God can forgive us of our past mistakes and help us to grow closer to Him. And it does. Having a family helps you grow closer to the Lord, because
yes, it does.
You learn what sacrificial love is all about.
That is so true.
Yeah.
And another thing it reminds me of is when our children ask us questions about the Lord, about God, and it makes us reflect as parents. It makes us dig deeper into our own beliefs and our own feelings, and reminds us of our own feelings toward the Lord, and it just helps us dig deeper. And we hear ourselves explain to our children the love of God. And thank you so much, Mom, for coming today and just being here with me today and talking to me. You have been such a blessing to me, and I speak for my other siblings as well. We all feel the same way. We couldn't have had a better mother, and we feel very blessed to have had you. And we love you. I love you. And Happy Mother's Day.
I'm happy.
Well, good morning. My name is Susan Lewis. I am the wife of Pastor Lewis. And thank you. I'm a firm believer the first thing I should do is go ahead and get in trouble. Is that all right with y'all? Would you put your hands together and wish my amazing son-in-law happy birthday, Jack? Yeah, he'll get me for that.
59 years old.
Yeah. I wasn't sure how I got to be 70 years old. Not sure how that happened, because just a couple weeks ago, I was in my 40s, and just a couple weeks before that, it seemed like I was in my 20s, but here I am. But I should have learned a lesson, because I was privileged to be in a conversation with Pastor and his mom when she was in the nursing home, and she had just started to have some memory lapses and stuff. And we were sitting there, and of course, Bernie brought his mom some chocolate, because, I mean, that was a necessary thing. And they were sitting there, and he goes, "Happy birthday, Mom. You're 90 years old." And she went, "Who?" And she he said, "Mom, you're 90 years old. Happy birthday." And he goes, "Remember, I'm your baby." And she looked at him, and he said, "I'm 63. And she goes, "Ooh, you're old." So I should have known if he was old at 63, I'm there too. But I have the privilege of talking to you just for a moment about what it's like to have an adult child and then grandchildren. Now, I'll just be honest with you. If I'd been asked to talk about grandkids, y'all wouldn't be out of here for an hour, you know. But let me talk to you about the privilege of having an adult child. When you realize your child is now an adult, the biggest thing that you may think is, "I'm done. I've done my job. I've got them through the sleepless nights. I've got them through all the trials and tribulations of dating and moving out the first time." And, you know, you've gone through that. I got news for you. You're going to be a mom or a dad for the rest of your life. And what a privilege. The difference is the level of responsibility. Because, see, as long as your children live in your home, you can actually say to them, "Clean up your room." And you expect to have the room cleaned up. Amen? Well, you can expect it. It doesn't always happen. Okay. You know, but you have so much control over kids, and that's a good thing, because you're teaching them and guiding them and pouring into them. Remember what Proverbs has told us loud and clear: train up a child in the way he should go. And please understand, that is spiritual, but that's also everyday life. Because as you're pouring into these children, they do become adults, and guess what? They're going to quote you. So be careful what you teach them. But one of the biggest privileges I've ever had in my whole life was well over a couple of years ago. Damaris and I were talking, and she was leading a meeting at her workplace. And she said, "Mom, I just got so frustrated, I told them, 'Look, my mom has drilled it into me, and I'm going to drill it into you. Professionals act as they must, not as they feel.'" As I was writing this down, I really had a God thought. Christians act as they must, not as they feel. Okay? So that was one of the things I poured into her. Another thing that she says I told her, I guess I haven't conquered it yet, because it doesn't sound like me. Y'all will know it doesn't sound like me. But she said I told her numerous times, in situations at work, stay as calm as you can. And think to yourself, what can I do to make this situation better? Well, that's great wisdom. I wished I'd have learned it. I've written it down. Maybe I can learn it now and everything, because I'm one of those could-be emotional people, okay? It just all depends on what's going on. But wouldn't it be a great idea if we all said, what can I do to make this situation better? What can we do for our kids when they're really, really struggling? what could I do to make that situation better? What could I do to help another person? Heather told us, what could I do to reach out and help her through her situation and all of them? And as she was talking, I was thinking, you know, what she said is so important as to us being with each other. And please understand, I'm not just talking to women. Man, there is nothing like hearing some of you men give encouragement to us, giving us that boost through the Lord. So being a parent of an adult child, I have one birth child. I have dozens of other children. And y'all are wearing me out, okay? But I have learned in all my godly advice, and I know God has used me many, many times to give advice, but as the years go by, I'm boiling it down, because one of the most powerful things I'm going to say to you is, I believe in you. I believe you can make the right decisions. I believe you can get through this heartache. I believe your dreams are going to come true. I believe in you. I have a young man that I've known for a long time, and he has gone through some very interesting, dark, dark situations. And periodically, I will just text him and say, I believe in you. And he'll text back and he'll say, Miss Susan, you never fail to let me know. See, love doesn't fail. And we believe in each other. We need each other. And so then when we look at this, we talk about as an adult, and I talked to you about losing some of your control, you realize you then still have the privilege of walking through the joys of your child. Some of the joys of your child is when they've chosen a career and they're actually happy about it, okay? They're not dreading going to work. We're happy about it because maybe it's one less $10 bill that you have to, you know, fork out, $20 or $100 or, you know, $150 or whatever. You watch how they have learned financial responsibility. And coming from a banking background, let me just insert one thing here, okay? At 12 years old, Damaris wrote every single one of our checks. And I signed them, every one. Because what I wanted her to know is that paycheck that comes in, there's things that go out. And we taught her that. The problem was, and yet it really was a blessing, she got so good about writing our checks, she was able to sign my name better than I do. But she never abused that and everything. You have the privilege of watching your adult child grow spiritually. And that's so important. Those Sunday school lessons, those times at home, those times around the dinner table, those times when we would kneel and pray with her and have her do that. I mean, you just watched that spiritual growing, and you knew that God was moving in her life. You also sometimes get the privilege of watching them choose a soulmate. And you talk about praying. You pray before, during, and after. That's it, and I can only tell you, Damaris chose very well. So that's some of the joys. However, our life is not always giddy, is it? It's not always that, yay, God. It's not always just that happy moment, the grin that breaks out all the time. We have some heartaches that we walk through with our kids. First of all, they see us begin to lose our parents, their grandparents. And they begin to realize this is getting ready to change. Some things are not all forever. We get to walk through them when they have made the decision to move away for whatever reason. Many times I struggled with the fact that we lived quite a distance, 6 and 7 hours away from our parents while we were in the ministry. And yet, here's the thing, and I want you as parents to hear this in case your kids are moving away. You kids know it in case your parents are moving away, the whole situation. In every situation, God gave us people who acted as parents. When we came here, many of you will know, and I'll mention very quickly on this and everything, but many of you will know, but when it came time for Jack and Damaris' wedding, one of the first things she said to me was, I have some grandmothers I'd like to have in the wedding. Now, Pastor's mother was in the nursing home. My mom was still alive, and she was able to come. And Jack had a grandfather that was able to come. And I said, who? And she began to name Emma Williford, Sarah Fields, Sandy Reinhart, and I forgot one, and another lady. And I said, Damaris, I know they're good to you. I know they're sweet. They always hug you. I said, why? And she said, because you never knew how many times they would hug me no matter what situation I was in and tell me that I was going to make it. You'll never know, Mom, how many times they reached out to me to make sure I was all right. They have to be in my wedding. So whether you had to move away or not, let me just assure you that God will provide for you. Another heartache that I'll share with you, because it is a very common situation, and I checked to make sure with Damaris that I could talk about this. But as parents, we do look forward to having grandkids. And our first grandchild did not make it and passed away at about 7 weeks, excuse me. And we walked through watching the hurt with Jack and Damaris and the sorrow. But then our man James came, and there is no grandson better than James. He was the blessing of our life, and we absolutely, it's a good thing we had them in Charleston, because I would have ruined him. I mean, I would have ruined him, and I didn't care, okay? But after James, after 14 weeks, we lost another one. And that one required a hospital visit, and I want you to know, as a parent, you felt your heart being ripped out, because when they're little, you can kiss it and make it better. But it's during a miscarriage you realize how helpless you are and how grateful we are that we have a God who steps in. Many times we talk about the Holy Spirit being a comforter, and most of the time when you hear that, you're at a funeral, right? Isn't that usually when we bring that up? Let me assure you, that comforter was there. It didn't stop the tears. It didn't stop the shattering of your heart, but what it did was surround you so that the healing could take place. And time went on, and Princess Piper came along. Now, I did take a step out of Pastor Steve's book, which I took it before he did, so maybe I can give him some advice, because I immediately said, Damaris, how many more? And Jack informed me that this might be all, okay? So that's okay. So that talks to you just a little bit about being an adult, being the mother of an adult child. It's a great privilege. You get to give advice, and yet you realize you give it very carefully, and you give it with the Holy Spirit surrounding you. And you give it so that it's not a lecture, anymore. It's okay to lecture your kids while they're still at home. But it's better if we can share our life. It's better to know that as we look at our adult children, they will always be our kids. But you know what? They're our friends. And in case you ever forget, your adult kids may be the ones who pick out your nursing home. So just be careful, okay? Just, hey, you know, okay. With grandkids, you just find time. I have found all Damaris has to say is, can you pick them up? Got it. I'm on it. You know, I could have not taken a shower yet that day. I could have a list about this long to do. And I've got news for you. James and Piper trump any list on my book. Any list. So it's great. And having grandkids, you get that chance to do things a little better. My dad taught me and taught Bernie and I. We actually had a moment of shock because my dad was an amazing, amazing man. But when you walked into church, it came Braden, Dorothy, Sandy, Sharon, Susan, Dennis. And we all had a certain pew. It was always the second from the back. You marched in like little soldiers. You sat down, and you did not move until the service is over. If you were going to cough, you held it. If you had to go to the bathroom, tough, you held it. I mean, it didn't matter what happened. It went on like that. They used to tease us that once all four of us kids got married and we would all go into service together, they said, y'all have not changed a bit. You all march in your own place and nobody moves. And that's exactly what it was. But we found out something changed when Damaris came along. We were standing up to sing a hymn, and you were allowed to stand to sing the hymn, and we were holding our books, and I look over, and Damaris reaches over to the pew in front of her and does a flip. And I'm thinking, dear God, don't let my dad kill her. Because I knew that was what the next step in the thing, that he was going to take her out, And my dad actually had the nerve to look over at Bernie and he goes, wasn't she cute? That, my friends, is the benefit of being a grandparent. You can change any rule that you want. Guys, in closing, just understand what we have inside of us, we have to share. Friendship, a hug, words of encouragement of I believe in you, all of those things, it is so critical. Whether we are speaking to a four-year-old or a 94-year-old, we have to take the time to pour out that's in us to help minister to someone else. Because we don't know how long we have. And I was talking to a friend of mine that's in Wisconsin on the way here this morning, and I said to her, you know what? I said, Lori, when I have passed away, one of the things that I want is to know that people will not say, that was the grouchiest, whiniest old woman I have ever seen in my life. What I hope and my heart's desire is that they'll say, that woman will laugh at anything, she will tell you anything, and she will encourage you all the days of your life. The strangest scripture that I want to finish on, strange for Mother's Day, is out of Ecclesiastes, and it's the third chapter. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to tear down and a time to build. There's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. There's a time to scatter stones and there's a time to gather them back up again. There's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to mend and a time to, there's a time to mend and a time to mend. So you're going to have to read it and find out what that was. Okay. A time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Guys, it's a great time to be a mom in this world.